Welcome to the show. It may surprise you to learn that in the age of advanced computing, supercomputers, and AI, the Internal Revenue Service's main computer system was installed in the mid-1960s. What may surprise you even more is that the IRS has repeatedly announced over the years that it is going to replace those archaic computers, but hasn't. Today, I'm going to reveal to you the hidden reason why the IRS keeps establishing dates to replace those computers, but never does, and never will, because replacing those archaic computers would almost certainly result in the truth of the income tax being leaked to the public. And having the public learn the truth is the one thing the Treasury Department can never risk. And you're going to find out about it right now.
The Dr. Reality Vodcast with Dave Champion.
Let's start with this. As you may know, income tax is my area of expertise. I am the author of Income Tax Shattering the Myth, the best-selling book in America that reveals the truth of the income tax that the government does not want you to know, which is that Congress's income tax laws do not impose the income tax on ordinary, hardworking Americans like you. I've been spreading the truth of the income tax for 32 years, which is also the number of years I have not filed an income tax return or paid a penny of income tax. It's odd to think that at the time I was learning the truth about the income tax, the IRS's main computers were roughly 27 years old, and they are now almost 60 years old. Before I take you on this deep dive, I want to let you know I'm running a special on my website, drreality.news, drreality.news. Any order containing Income Tax Shattering the Myths gets free shipping by using the code TARIFFS. More on that at the end. We don't know exactly how old the IRS's computers are because the IRS has been unable to confirm the installation date of the six mainframes that are the core of what the IRS does. Here's what we do know. The most important records the IRS maintains are known as the IMF, which stands for Individual Master File, and BMF, which stands for Business Master File. Everything the IRS does, everything is rooted in the IMF and BMF programs. Phrased another way, no action is taken by the IRS that is not authorized by the IMF or BMF programs. The IMF and BMF programs are written in COBOL and IBM assembler languages. COBOL debuted in 1959 and IBM assembler in 1964. At the IRS, the COBOL and assembler programs run on six IBM System 360 mainframes. The best estimate we have as to when they were installed at the IRS Computing Center in Martinsburg, West Virginia, is 1966. Those six mainframes are still in place and are still running the IMF and BMF programs. In the computer hardware and software world, it would be accurate to refer to 60-year-old systems as ancient. The first public discussion about replacing them with something modern was in 1997 when Charles Rosati became the IRS commissioner. Although Rosati didn't know anything about tax law, he was a partner in a large successful company that provided advanced software systems to the United States government. It was thought that Rosati was the perfect guy to replace the six aging mainframes. He was the commissioner for almost 6 years, and failed at the task of replacing the mainframes. Working under Rosati was Chief Information Officer Paul Cosgrave, who resigned in 2001 for personal reasons, yet immediately went to work in the private sector. My take on that is that when he discovered why the old IBM mainframes could not be replaced, he decided to leave, though without publicly revealing what you are about to learn. A couple of years after Rosati left, the IRS announced that a new system to replace the old mainframes would be ready in 2014. Yeah, so that didn't happen. 7 years later, in 2021, the Government Accounting Office said modernizing the system was still a decade away. The current story is that a system called CADE-2 is supposed to come online at the Martinsburg Computing Center in 2030. So, is CADE-2 a replacement for the ancient IBM mainframes? Not according to the IRS's website. The IRS's website describes CADE-2 this way. CADE-2 will leverage existing systems and components, including individual master file applications, to perform functions related to accessing and updating taxpayer account data, managing cases, and resolving account issues. In other words, CADE-2 isn't going to replace the ancient mainframe-based IMF and BMF programs. The IRS is admitting that in 2030, with the mainframes at that time being 64 years old, the IRS is merely going to place another layer on top of them, not replace them. What's going on that the IRS has repeatedly announced it's going to replace its ancient mainframes, but never does? Is it a shortage of money? No, Congress has been more than willing to give the IRS all the money it needs to replace those mainframes. Is the problem that the necessary technology to replace them doesn't exist? Of course not. The idea that there are no better, faster, and more efficient computing systems than 1960s-era mainframes is, of course, nonsensical. Is it a lack of government expertise to replace the mainframes? That's clearly not the issue, because the work wouldn't be done by the government. The Treasury Department would have to contract with a large, well-established firm to design the system and develop the software, which we'll discuss shortly. As a side note, the Social Security Administration's computer systems, which are the next oldest, are 30 years old. They haven't been replaced for reasons very similar to what you're going to learn today about the IRS's problem. So then, what exactly is stopping the IRS from replacing its mainframes? Let me begin by going off topic a bit and discussing the true underlying reason for the enactment of the 1998 IRS Reform and Restructuring Act. The explanation put out by the Treasury Department and blindly parroted by the media was that the IRS needed to be restructured to be more efficient. And that was a complete fabrication. Concealment, not efficiency, was the reason for the act. So, what were they concealing? Virtually all of the internal documents of the IRS that existed in the later 1990s had been written in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s with zero forethought that someday those documents could be seen by the public. Because those documents were written in the context that no one outside the IRS would ever see them, the documents were completely transparent about the reality that the income tax doesn't apply to ordinary Americans. In Income Tax Shattering the Myths, I reveal that prior to the IRS Reform and Restructuring Act, 100% of the IRS's enforcement authority resided with the Assistant Commissioner International. Within the office of the Assistant Commissioner International was the Examination Division, which conducts what the public calls audits. The Collection Division, which are the employees who take steps to collect income tax not paid when it should have been, and the Criminal Investigation Division. The important part of this is that there was no other examination division, collection division, or criminal investigation division within the IRS. Those divisions operated exclusively under the authority of the Assistant Commissioner International, which is described in the Internal Revenue Manual of that era as, quote, "The Assistant Commissioner International administers the internal revenue laws and related statutes as they relate to U.S. citizens residing abroad, corporations and businesses whose books and records are maintained outside the U.S., and non-resident aliens deriving income from sources within the United States." You may have noticed there was nothing in that description that gave the Assistant Commissioner International any authority over ordinary hardworking Americans like you or me. Before I continue, if you enjoy gaining this kind of knowledge that you'll never get from any source other than this channel, please take a moment to subscribe. Hit the like button so the algorithms will show the content to more people. Also, for a limited time, you can get free shipping on any of my books as long as Income Tax Shattering the Myths is included in the order. Simply use the code TARIFFS at checkout. I'll share that again at the end. Other documents were equally revealing, such as the Treasury Department's systems of record. Let me share just a couple examples with you. Here, you can see the system of records for returns filed by individuals. You can see here that the manager of the system, in other words, the official who uses the data contained in the system, is the Assistant Commissioner International. The I in parentheses signifies international. The system of records you're seeing now contains information on wage withholding. And again, you can see that the system manager, the official who makes use of the records, is the Assistant Commissioner International. I apologize for the graininess of the image. The systems of records listing is printed in something like 7-point type, which is really, really small. So it's grainy when the image is enlarged. The system of records relating to willful failure to file criminal cases is also maintained by the Assistant Commissioner International, as is the system of records entitled Correspondences from Taxpayers, and much, much more I don't have time to get into today, but you'll find it all in Income Tax Shattering the Myths. In short, everything Americans have always believed applies to them was, at all times, under the exclusive authority of the Assistant Commissioner International, who has zero authority over people like me and you. In the mid-1990s, Congress passed a law requiring agencies to post to their websites all documents that could reasonably be considered available to the public through the Freedom of Information Act. That would have included things like I've shown you today and much, much more. Under the law, all of that had to be put on the IRS's website by December 1999. For the IRS, that would have been an unmitigated disaster. Then, miraculously, in 1998, Treasury presented Congress with the IRS Reform and Restructuring Act. Congress obediently passed it, and the president signed it. The act completely restructured the IRS, which rendered every document about the IRS's former structure and staffing obsolete. In this context, obsolete is not merely a descriptor, it is a legal term with legal implication. The legal effect of those documents being declared obsolete is that they could no longer be obtained through the Freedom of Information Act. Phrased another way, by a vote of Congress and the signature of the president, all evidence of the truth was rendered unattainable by the American people. Pretty slick, huh? It would not be an exaggeration to say that the Treasury Department restructured the IRS from top to bottom because the internet had evolved into a meaningful tool for the widespread dissemination of information. The internet had reached the point where a single click could put information in the hands of 100,000 people, and a single click by each of those 100,000 could put that information in the hands of millions. All within minutes. The Treasury Department had to make sure the American people could never get access to the kinds of internal documents we've been discussing. I shared the story of why the IRS Reform and Restructuring Act was enacted because the IRS replacing its mainframes suffers from the same kind of risk that the public will discover the truth. Like the IRS's pre-1998 internal documents, the IRS's mainframes are programmed to operate in accordance with the truth of the income tax, in accordance with what the law really says. Replacing the mainframes with modern computing systems would require new software written from the ground up for the IMF and BMF operations. Writing software from the ground up would require a large team of software engineers and programmers. Any company that might land such a contract would need thousands of engineers and programmers working for years to develop the product. At this point, I'd like to take a moment to state the unequivocal truth of the income tax. To facilitate simplicity of understanding, I'm going to give it to you in two parts, Part A and Part B. Part A is that the income tax has only been imposed on non-resident aliens and foreign corporations with U.S. source income. Part B is that U.S. citizens and domestic corporations in possession of U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person are required to deduct and withhold income tax and pay it over to the government before sending the balance off to its foreign owner. Those folks are called withholding agents. Those two parts are the whole shebang. There is nothing in the tax code that imposes income tax on Americans earning their own domestic income. No matter how much income tax propaganda the government puts out to the public, no matter how much misinformation useful idiots such as the accounting industry and attorneys put out, the law is what it is. And the IMF and BMF programs must adhere to that legal reality. If they don't, the whole issue could be blown wide open in the federal courts. In order for new software written from the ground up to comply with the reality of income tax law, the Treasury Department would have to make clear to at least some of the software engineers and programmers what the software must do and not do. Someone in that process, probably quite a few someones, would clearly see that the IMF and BMF programs only address foreigners with U.S. source income and U.S. persons acting as withholding agents. Those someones would probably ask why they hadn't been tasked with writing code pertaining to ordinary Americans earning their own income. The only response I can see the Treasury Department giving is, that's being handled by another team. But that lie wouldn't hold water very long because quite a few of the engineers would look at the IMF and BMF programs as they neared completion and see nothing in them addressing Americans earning their own domestic income. Let me be more specific. The engineers would see all 1099 income allocated exclusively to the part of the program addressing U.S. citizens and domestic corporations acting as the agents of foreign persons with U.S. source income. They'd see all W-2 income allocated exclusively to the part of the program addressing non-resident aliens with U.S. source income. They'd see all information reporting, 100% of it, allocated to the parts addressing foreigners with U.S. source income and U.S. persons acting as withholding agents. They'd see that all Form 1040 data goes into the part that exclusively addresses non-resident aliens with U.S. source income. They'd see that all Form 1120 data goes into the part that exclusively addresses the tax owed by foreign corporations on their U.S. source income. The reason the Treasury Department cannot risk developing new software is because they know many of the engineers would understand the implications of what they were seeing and pull a Snowden. Imagine a group of these guys doing podcasts with people like Sean Ryan, Theo Vaughn, Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, explaining what the software really does and does not do, and discussing the astounding implications of that. Can you imagine the reaction of the American people if they heard directly from the people who developed the software that their marching orders from the Treasury Department did not include writing any code pertaining to Americans earning their own domestic income? If there is even a 0.1% chance some of the engineers would pull a Snowden, which there obviously is, Treasury can't risk it because it would bring down the house of cards known as income tax. From my perspective, the crazy thing is all the information that would likely go public from the engineers and programmers is available right now in Income Tax Shattering the Myths. In fact, there is exponentially more information in Income Tax Shattering the Myths than would be revealed by the software guys. Here are some examples. In Income Tax Shattering the Myths, you'll see the statutes that prove everything the engineers would be saying. You'll see regulations that prove everything the engineers would be saying. Remember a moment ago I mentioned the engineers would see all the 1099 income placed into the part of the program addressing withholding agents? In Income Tax Shattering the Myths, you will see the law that says a withholding agent is a U.S. citizen or resident or domestic corporation acting as a domestic agent for a foreign person receiving U.S. source income. In Income Tax Shattering the Myths, I connect so many dots for you. For example, the very first tax regulation in the CFR says, Section 1 of the code imposes an income tax on the income of every individual who is a citizen or resident of the United States and, to the extent provided by Section 871B and 877B, on the income of a non-resident alien individual. The first clause, in which it says citizens and residents are liable for the tax, doesn't mean you or me on our own domestic income. It means U.S. citizens and residents who are acting as withholding agents upon foreign persons. When the withholding agent withholds the tax, he, she, it, is required by law to pay the withheld amount over to the government, which is what 1.1-1 means when it mentions U.S. citizens and residents. I know some of you are thinking to yourself, that can't be what 1.1-1 means. Oh, really? Let me give you proof. The kind of proof you'll find in abundance in Income Tax Shattering the Myth. Are you ready? There is no mention of who is to file a Form 1040 in the tax code. There is no mention of who is to use a Form 1040 in the regulations. One has to drill down past the code and regs to Treasury decisions to find out who is to use Form 1040. Since 1913, when the income tax was first enacted, there are 11 Treasury decisions instructing the public on who is to use a Form 1040. All 11 Treasury decisions instruct the public that Form 1040 is to be used by a non-resident alien with U.S. source income or the non-resident alien's domestic agent, otherwise known as the withholding agent. As a side note, since 1962, any U.S. citizen or domestic corporation that has possession of U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person is referred to in tax law as a U.S. person. Do you know how many Treasury decisions say anyone other than a non-resident alien with U.S. source income or the non-resident alien's domestic agent is to file a Form 1040? If you're thinking the answer is zero, you are correct. Let me summarize this for you. No statute within the code speaks to who is to use a 1040. No regulation speaks to who is to use a 1040. 11 Treasury decisions speak to the matter, instructing the American people that Form 1040 is to be used exclusively by a non-resident alien with U.S. source income or the non-resident alien's domestic agent. Let me distill this down to a single sentence for you. There is no law, regulation, or Treasury decision instructing an American citizen earning his or her own domestic income to file any income tax form whatsoever. Zero, zip, zilch. Nada. So, with that reality under your belt, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to engage your logic circuits before answering. I'd like you to prepare to use your logic circuits by taking a moment to put out of your mind the false public narrative about income tax and tamp down the ingrained fear of the IRS so you can answer using purely your intellect. Okay, here's the question. Since there is no law requiring you to file any income tax form or pay a penny of income tax on your own domestic income, what then is the regulation at 1.1-1 talking about when it says U.S. citizens and residents are required to pay income tax? In light of what we've been discussing, what do you think is the answer? 1.1-1 is obviously talking about the tax you are required to pay only if you withheld U.S. income tax from a non-resident alien or foreign corporation for whom you are acting as the domestic agent. While you have your logic circuits engaged, let's do another question. I'll set the premise and then pose the question. There is only one income tax return an individual can file. It's Form 1040. If you doubt that, Google income tax return for individuals, and the only result you will get is Form 1040. In the entire 112-year history of the income tax, there is no statute, regulation, or Treasury decision instructing anyone to file a 1040 other than a non-resident alien or his U.S. agent. So my question is, if the only return that exists for an individual to file is exclusively for the use of non-resident aliens or the non-resident alien's U.S. agent, who has that tax been imposed upon? I'll also add a part B to that question. In light of all these facts, why are you filing a Form 1040? As much as we've covered today, it's only a small fraction of the incontrovertible evidence you'll find in Income Tax Shattering the Myth. Ironically, what you will discover in Income Tax Shattering the Myth is that the entire scam relies on you never learning the things you'll find in Income Tax Shattering the Myth. Remember the old slogan, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Don't let yours be wasted with apathy, ignorance, or fear. Learn the truth. After you read Income Tax Shadowing This, you will have zero doubt that the income tax does not apply to you. Then, if you're inclined, like hundreds of thousands of Americans before you, you can safely leave the income tax scam behind and keep 100% of your property. Right now, and for a limited time, I'm offering free shipping on any order from DrReality.News website if the order contains a copy of Income Tax Shattering the Myths. I'm going to suggest you purchase the 4-pack containing Income Tax Shattering the Myths, the Business Guide to Payroll Withholding, the Business Handbook for Form W-9-1099, a U.S. person, and Body Science. The first reason to get the 4-pack is the price is already deeply discounted from purchasing those 4 items individually. The second reason is that in addition to it being deeply discounted, you get free shipping by using the code TARIFFS. Here's a quick overview of each item in the 4-pack. Income Tax Shattering the Myths. You already know what that's going to do for you. The Business Guide to Payroll Withholding is a 13-page item intended to help workers convey the truth we've been discussing today to the company for which they work in order to ask them to follow the law and stop withholding. Not everyone is articulate or can recall legal citations on the spur of the moment, so I wrote the Business Guide to Payroll Withholding to help with that. It's also a great primer if you want to wake someone up to the truth of the income tax. The Business Handbook for Forms W-9, 1099, and U.S. person is also 13 pages and is intended to help self-employed people communicate to those with whom they do business why they are not required to furnish a Form W-9 and why the person or entity paying them is not legally required, in fact, is not legally permitted, to file a Form 1099. The handbook is also a great primer if you want to wake someone up to the truth of the income tax. Body Science is my groundbreaking work on human physiology that is the key to what so many people say they want right now, which is to turn around the health of the American people. Sadly, the vast majority of Americans prefer to get their views on nutritional physiology from a corrupt media rather than a physiologist who tears down the false establishment health narratives and gives you the science of getting and staying healthy presented in a way everyone can understand. If you're sincere about getting and staying healthy, you need to read Body Science. I practice what I preach. I adhere to everything you'll discover in Body Science. At 65, I'm as healthy as I was at 25. I'm in perfect health, no chronic diseases, no big pharma meds. I haven't been sick a day in years. During the COVID event, I never wore a mask, never social distance, shook hands with people, hugged my friends, lived life as I always had, and I never got COVID. That's how your immune system will operate if you follow what you learn in Body Science. So go to DrReality.News, DrReality.News, and pick up Income Tax Shattering the Myths or the 4-pack. Remember to use the coupon code TARIFFS to get free shipping on any order containing Income Tax Shattering the Myths. Also, purchasing any of my writings helps me to continue to be here for you with these revealing and thought-provoking presentations. If you found today's content intriguing and compelling, please spread the word by sharing this video far and wide. Thanks for sharing your time with me today. I hope you consider a time well spent.